Welcome back to the most furious episode of Roomies Talking Movies. It's funny, Jackson, because last episode I said the fastest episode, even though it was actually just an average length episode, so it was pretty much a bold-faced lie.
And it makes sense, though, because I'm pissed at this movie.
You're so angry that we spent money on this movie?
I'm so angry that I'm now $10 poorer. And that was what I spent my money on.
I was $20 poorer because I also got popcorn.
Ooh.
And then I felt gross afterwards because that's that movie popcorn. That's what it does to you. But I missed that feeling. We'll get more into the experience and everything in just a bit. But the next best stop for all things movie news and reviews. I'm your host, Danon. And joining with me today, as always, is my co-host, Jackson.
How's it going?
And
that's a question to you, Danon.
Oh, I'm okay. I went to Disneyland.
No way.
Yeah. Built a lightsaber.
Did you see the Fast and the Furious, the new ride they have?
No, they have one at Universal?
No, at Disneyland.
At Disneyland?
Yeah. Just add it. I think.
I think they could redo Splash Mountain to look like Fast and the Furious. And then at the end, when you're doing the climb, it's just a bunch of screens, and one of them is Vin Diesel going, "We gotta make the jump, come on!" And then you do the drop in like a car. I think we could do that.
I think there should be a part where the car, you know, flips and the dad dies.
You think we should get like 16 flashbacks to one shot?
Yes, that'd be perfect.
I think that'd be perfect. But we're back this week to talk about the latest Fast and the Furious franchise film, F9. Or as we love to call it, F9.
F9.
Does this live up to the hype?
Nope.
Will this movie ever end?
Probably not.
All these questions and many more will be answered soon. But first, we have more entertainment news than the amount of times people are caught by cars in this film. It is astounding how many times they go like, yeah, no, if you use a car to catch someone, everything will be okay. So let's just go ahead and jump right into this. Jackson, you remember a few weeks ago, a very controversial news bit that we talked about was the Powerpuff Girls leaked scripts. Some of us claiming that it did not exist, others claiming that this was the best thing that they've ever read. But one of the stars of the upcoming CW show, Dove Cameron, talks about reshooting the pilot episode, stating that we want to get it right. And if it's anything like the script that we did read, there is no hope for this thing.
You know, if they really are reshooting this, then that tells me that the script we read was actually real. It was legit. That was probably how they wanted the show to be, and now they're like,
wait, everyone hates this? What? This is so weird. We thought everyone would love this quirky, funny, quirky script.
Yeah. Except everyone.
Except everyone who read the script, including the actors.
Yeah. I wonder if actors feel pressured to not speak up about the script. I wonder if directors just have that, like, aura that makes them, like, not want to be talked to.
I think that it's got to be something like when you build that, like the fact that if you've been in like a franchise with them, like Vin Diesel could say whatever to the directors of the Fast films. Like they're like, Vin, I don't think that this car is able to just drive on two wheels and walk like a person. Vin Diesel could say, hey, how about you shut the fuck up and let me do my thing, okay?
You think Vin Diesel takes the position of director?
Of the director from the director?
The director gets his tips from Vin Diesel about directing the movie.
All right. Okay, so you guys gotta drive about 20 minutes distance. How do you want to do this? I say that we walk. What? With the cars on our backs. All right, Vin. I don't know how you're gonna make this work, but I'll spend $3 million to make this short scene worth it.
Right. That's how movie making goes.
At least with Vin Diesel.
Only with Vin Diesel. Dane, did you know that Ron Perlman is voicing Optimus Prime in the upcoming Transformers movie, Rise of the Beast?
There's multiple beasts. I'm very excited because this is going to be a gorilla Optimus Prime. So
my question is how can you voice a robot? Does his voice just get like, you know, edited so it sounds robot-y?
Metallic? Have you watched any of the Transformers films?
No, do they sound human?
A bit. It's just like slightly reverbed and like sometimes overlaid with it, the same thing, so it just like sounds bigger.
I thought they were just, like, you know, robotic voices.
They pretty much just sound like people, but with, like, a little bit of a metallic twang to it.
That sucks.
Yeah, no, the movies suck, too, so there's that.
Surprising.
But, yeah, no, I think it's a little odd because the dude who voiced Optimus Prime up to this point was the same guy who voiced him in like the cartoons and everything. And it's just interesting because all of the movies were bad. So why was it that this one he's like, I can't.
That's a good question.
It's exciting.
He drew the line. When you hit that many bad movies, you just stop.
It's exciting, the fact that he read the script and he's like, no, I'm done.
I mean, that's what Ben Affleck did, you know? He had a shitload of bad movies. Ben Affleck was like, yep, I'm done. And then had a good one. Wait a minute, I'm Batman. That's what he said. That's the quote. That's what'll go in the history books, Damon.
Moving on to the next news bit we got here. With the success of F9, the Fast Saga has officially become the fifth highest grossing franchise at the box office, with a whopping $6.29 billion. Now, Jackson, I know you're a numbers guy, so I'm going to give you the whole dang list of the top five franchises. It just kicked off the X-Men franchise up to this point, and that movie and that franchise had, like, what? Five, six, seven, like, eight movies?
Right.
Boo. That's a chump record. It took you eight or so movies to make $6.27 billion. The Fast franchise did it in 10.
But, all right, you go down the list, then I pose my question.
You can pose your questions throughout. Yeah, so number five, we got the Fast Saga, $6.29 billion. Number four, we have the James Bond franchise of $7.1 billion, which I think makes sense just because there's like 30 movies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We got ourselves number three, Harry Potter, $9.2 billion. I don't care about Harry Potter. Number two, Star Wars, $10.3 billion. But then again, this is a case of a X-Men where there's just so many dang movies. It kind of makes sense that this should be top five easy. And number one, would you believe it? It's the DC Extended Universe.
Oh my god! Good job, DC.
No, I'm kidding. These guys need to fucking get their shit together. It's the MCU with $22.5 billion. So
I'm actually surprised.
I mean, not a huge distance between Star Wars and MCU, but
yeah, almost. No, MCU has more than double Star Wars. But I'm surprised the DCEU isn't on there at all. Like, I mean, they don't have nearly as many movies as the MCU, but they have quite a few.
Yeah, but also, it's hard to be a top five grossing franchise when your movies aren't good.
That's true.
And it stinks because there are good ones. What was your point, Jackson?
What I want to know is, what's the highest grossing franchise per movie, right? Because, you know, Fast, they have 10 movies. James Bond, you said it has 30. So James Bond probably doesn't even deserve to be top five.
Yeah, because it's just per movie. Quantity over quality.
Harry Potter has 8. So they've made over $1 billion per movie. That's pretty crazy.
I feel like this has to do with the Fantastic Beasts movies as well.
Oh, those also count?
I feel like those fall under Harry Potter. I don't have all the statistics. Yeah. I just have the list, so.
And what, there's 11?
There's 9, and then 2 spinoffs, and then, I'm just trying to think. No, the rest are Disney Plus. Yeah, so there's 11.
There's 11 Star Wars, and then, so what, that's like 18, a pretty 19 MCU?
Yeah, that's a pretty good average for Star Wars. Uh-huh. Breaking in almost $1 billion every
movie,
so that's good.
Harry Potter would be a little less than $1 billion every movie. MCU's making over $1 billion every movie, so MCU still wins.
Yeah.
Good job, MCU.
But I mean, even still, it's like James Bond has 30, but MCU also almost has 30, so it's like, should these two really be on the list? Because you're just Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Okay, the MCU's now made $25 billion. Like, yeah,
right.
I don't know.
If there was no franchise involved, the Avatar film would be the first, because it's just per movie, you know? It's made
all
this money.
I don't like the Avatar movie, and I don't really know many people who do.
It was just impressive at the time.
It was impressive,
you know?
At the time.
It was very visually impressive.
Like, this fucking sucks. This movie has a dog shit premise. It gets, like, dull after an hour, and they're like, hey, do you want to have sex with my hair? And then they have sex with their hair.
Sully.
Yeah.
Sully.
You remember any of the characters' names?
Just the main character, Sully, James Sully, Sullivan, something. Then there was the angry military guy. There was the girl who wanted to become one of them.
And the
doctor.
Girl who already was one.
Yeah, and Nomura or whatever. I don't remember any of the names.
More like moron.
I don't think that's her name, though, so you can't say that.
Oh.
Anyways, that was a very long segment. Up next on our news is that a new entry in the Fast and the Furious franchise, centered on Charlize Theron's villainous hacker, is currently being scripted, says Vin Diesel.
Thank God.
I actually think you're right. Vin Diesel is just directing all these movies. He knows everything about everything.
Say what you will, Vin Diesel single-handedly made a cinematic universe with his bare hands and billions upon billions of dollars.
And family.
And family. You gotta remember that. This villain is not interesting.
I don't know who that villain is.
The villain was, that's the villain in the movie, Jackson.
Oh, the girl. The one that was that pulled a Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and was piloting a ship.
That wasn't remotely. Ever there. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. I feel like that might be a spoiler, but I mean, who gives a shit? It's a Fast and the Furious franchise. You don't go there for a cohesive plot. You go there to get your really fucking don't. Money's worth.
And we'll talk
I'm getting
about
angry.
Later.
We'll talk about this in just a second. Disney has requested all companies such as Lego, Hasbro, etc., or etc. for you small brain, smooth brain people out there. They want to change the name of Boba Fett's ship, originally called the Slave One, to Boba's Starship instead. And they have not provided a reason as to why yet. I feel like I know the reason, but
I think I do too.
Think it's a dumb reason anyways. Because he's not flying a ship that says, hey, I'm super down with slavery. Let's do more of that. It's just like a spooky name ship. And if you name it something like the Starship of this specific person, do you know how generic that is?
Well, no. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like something out of Kirby.
Yeah, that's
Boba's
what it sounds
Starship. Like.
Like,
what?
That sounds like a level in
they should
Kirby
name it
video
like
game.
Boba. No, they shouldn't even use Boba because everyone associates Boba with the drink now. They should call it Fett's Death Ship.
Fett's exploding nuclear bomb ship.
Yeah. That'd make it interesting.
I just, like, Disney's like, oh my god, I can't believe we haven't noticed this yet. You know what? We have to change this way. Like, drawing attention to this now is making it worse than just leaving it as it was. Because I don't think a single person was like, Disney, you better explain yourself as to why this person's ship has a word that has a connotation with a very awful thing.
I mean,
like, Boba Fett's not a slave owner.
They probably shouldn't mess with the source material, especially in a way that makes it slightly worse.
Yeah, I slightly is an understatement, Jackson.
Yeah.
That would be like, okay, you know what? The Millennium Falcon, we don't want to make people confused that it's a bird. Han Solo's super ship. There we go.
Galaxy Cruiser.
Yeah, I mean, freaking that would be better than Starship. That's just like a blanket statement.
It really is. Our next piece of news is that Black Panther Wakanda Forever has now started filming. Kevin Feige says, quote, we're going to do it in a way that would make Chadwick proud, which is all we could ever ask for.
I think this is going to be a good movie. The fact that they've gone back into this so many times and like, listen, we are not doing this like without Chadwick unless it's in a way that we can respect everything that he's done so far. And the fact that they've like set up an awesome world from the first movie and then in the other MCU movies, you got yourself a done deal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much already going to this movie, but like in the future.
Yeah, because it's not out yet, Jackson. They just started
filming. If it was out, I would be in the theaters right now.
Yeah.
Recording the podcast simultaneously while watching it.
Jackson, you know what stinks? We started the show the same year, but after Endgame came out. So we got to wait up until the next 10 years to do whatever the next Endgame is.
Right. We'll be roomy season 30.
Season 30, that's promising. If we average around 3 seasons a year, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're good. Jackson, are you ready for the best news bit of this week?
I am.
Because this one has pictures!
Yay!
The official release of Hasbro Pop Figure and Lego, as well as a couple of other brands, they have officially released upcoming products based on the Spider-Man No Way Home film. You know what that means? We're gonna get a shit ton of spoilers right now. But lucky for me and Jackson, we have no souls, so this won't affect us at all.
Right.
Before we jump into some of these new reveals, what we've seen from the images so far is that it confirms that Doctor Strange not only is in the film, but will play a substantial factor in the movie. Which, I mean, how are you supposed to get the other two Spider-Men in this movie without using the Sorcerer Supreme?
Exactly. He's gonna pull the multiverse Spider-Man out of there.
That's what he's gonna do. But we also get two looks at some brand new two Spider-Man suits. And I think it's time we just jump right into it. This first one, the black and gold suit. Ooh.
Very spectacular looking.
I really like this look.
Is this like an original Spider-Man costume?
Jackson, I'm going to throw in another one of Danon's theories, you know. I think that this is just the red and black suit flipped inside out. Because if you look at this first image, it's a bunch of, like, computer chips and tech stuff on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't really seem safe if this were a suit in and of itself.
Yeah.
If you scroll down a little bit, we'll talk about the other suits. You'll notice that it is just a bunch of computer chip printing and stuff on the arms and legs. I think this is just the suit flipped inside out.
Right, okay.
But I still think it looks really cool. Like, it's an interesting color combination to give Spider-Man.
You don't think he made himself like an iron spider suit that's black and yellow?
I think he did make an iron spider suit, but we'll talk more about that in the next suit. If anything, and this isn't like a suit flipped inside out, I think it might be like the electro-proof suit. Like a suit that's like made out of rubber kind of thing to avoid getting killed instantly. You know, from all that electricity kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think I'd be fine with. But Jackson, we see the second and most likely the suit he will wear in the finale of the climax of this film. We've seen some gold and black again with some red this time. This appears to look like the red and black suit he wore in Far From Home, but this time with the Iron Spider arms and emblem design. Yeah. But with the web shooters as well.
Mm-hmm.
This strikes me as, because I'm pretty sure they're going to be doing the Sinister Six in this movie, right?
I mean, if they're going to bring another Spider-Man, then probably.
You got to do the Sinister Six. I think that, like, this is going to be his version of, like, the Sinister Six suit, which just, like, extra protection, extra little gizmos. Because maybe he assumes that the other Spider-Man aren't going to show up to help him. And then they do. Yeah.
And then they save the day. And that's the... You just spoiled the whole movie. Great work, Danon.
But, Jackson, this next image from Pop Figures kind of puts a damper in that idea because he's got dang magic symbols on his suit.
Maybe they're protective sigils.
Or maybe this is his suit he uses to go through the multiverse.
Ooh. You think Doctor Strange is like, knock yourself out, kid. Go travel the multiverse.
I don't give a fuck. I have to defend all of realities right now. Here, take this magic suit and leave. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I think that's what happened too. He also had that accent as well.
Get the fuck out of here, Spider-Man. I got a lot of shit I gotta do over here.
Yeah. Hey, Spider-Man, I'm saving the universe here.
I need you to seriously, Spider-Man. Like, I need like 5 minutes alone if you could just go into a different multiverse, a different form of reality, and just stay there for 5 minutes. I'll come get you, okay? But overall, what do you think of these two brand new spanking new suits?
I think if I had to choose one, I would go with the gold and black. I'm a big fan of Miles Morales' suit, and this is somewhat, like, resembling it.
Yeah. No, I get you, dude. Good call, good call, good call. Trailer time?
It's trailer time. Sound the alarm. Alert the authorities. It's trailer time.
Hello, 911. Well, I'm not supposed to call this phone line when it's just a bit. Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, Jackson, we're going to have to wrap this video up soon. They're going to start bringing cop cars over here. They heard they heard the alarm, and they thought it was someone screaming, so.
Oh, no. Well, this Don't wraps up another two. Episode of Ruby's Talking Moon.
First trailer we got on this week is Don't Breathe 2. Bit of a confusing thing, because from mine and Jackson's knowledge, Don't Breathe 1, this old blind guy was the bad guy who tried to impregnate a woman and also kill a bunch of burglars.
And it seems like he has a kid now, or someone that's not his kid that he's trying to protect, and he's killing more people.
Yeah, murderer. I don't know.
Does this guy not have arthritis? Honestly.
He just seems like he can barely talk, it hurts for him to move, he can't see.
He could apparently have the reflexes of, you know...
Of a jungle cat.
Of a jungle cat. Of an ocelot.
I feel like if you just had two guys with two guns, that's it, right?
Yeah, you shoot the old dude, he's dead.
Like, one of them goes like, okay, you be the distraction, and then I'm just gonna literally walk up to this old man with no supernatural abilities and shoot him in the head.
Yeah.
Anywho, this trailer was like 3 minutes long, and every few seconds it cut out sound, because I think it was like building suspense and also like, hey, you're like the old guy because he can't hear. And I was just like, I kept checking my phone to see if the volume was broken, because it just kept doing that. And I was like, what the fuck? Just right. Let me listen to the trailer. But no, it was just a quirky trailer for a movie that I'm not looking forward to.
Our next trailer, Dana, The Many Saints of Newark. Is that supposed to mean New York?
I think that's what it is.
I see. So is that just how they say it? They say Newark.
Let's do a Google, Jackson. I'm known to be ignorant, but I would love to learn more. And let's have the people know more as well. So, Newark is a section. Okay, well, that doesn't seem true at all. Newark, let's do Newark, New York, because the accents and everything make it a little hard for me to believe this is Newark, Canada. So
I would agree with that.
Yeah, so Newark, New York is a area in New York. The first thing that pops up is Newark, New York safe? The chances of becoming a victim of either violent or property crime in Newark is 1 in 30, which is not a great statistic.
Well, maybe that's what the movie's all about, because it was about violence and crime, so.
Relative to Newark has a crime rate that is 97% of the state's cities and towns of all sizes. So that's a bit of a giant crime rate statistic.
So it's a crime hotspot.
Yeah, but this is also a prequel to The Sopranos. Something that a bunch of people have just said, Sopranos is the best TV show of all time. They haven't seen My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, so don't really want to hear it from them. But this prequel looks pretty interesting. We get to see our favorite actor of all time, John Bernthal. In a big old pompadour wig.
He's supposed to be my favorite actor.
Yeah, he's the guy who was in Baby Driver. He played the Punisher. He's always the radical dude, the screamy dude.
Oh yeah, he's my favorite actor.
He's the best actor of all time.
Literally.
But he's in it, so I think that's interesting. I feel like this is more of a reward for those who have seen all of Sopranos. So Jackson, we have about a couple of months to watch an entire like 10 years of a TV show. So
all right, I'll get it done tonight.
Yeah, we got it.
But Dana, you know who's a bad actor?
Is
the CGI dog in Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Is it Clifford the Big Red Dog?
It's literally Clifford the Big Red Dog. Terrible actor. They should have gotten a smaller dog, probably.
They should have just forcefully dyed a Labrador to be red. To make it authentic.
Given it
radioactive
copious
use.
Amounts of growth hormone. To the point where it could no longer sustain itself.
Now, I know I ask this a little too much for some people's likings, but there is no God, is there, right? Like,
I mean, we found out last episode, no.
But this is just sacrilege. The fact that the dog's eyes, like, there's no whites of its eyes, it's just red. Makes me imagine that when they were doing the editing for this movie, they're like, fuck, this dog is still white. John, just put some red over it and then we'll go home for the weekend. And then he just drags over red and then puts it on the dog for every scene. He's like, yeah, that should be good. And then they just hit finished.
Yeah. A couple of points I want to make.
Absolutely.
This video had about a third of the likes or dislikes.
Yeah.
Which is really bad for a YouTube video. Also, the dog grows from love, right?
Yes.
She cried on it and wished that she would stop she would stop having to be bullied.
Yeah.
How is that love?
That just seems selfish.
Yeah. And then it grew in one night.
Yeah. I think it's going
to
be a slow growth.
Is this sticking to the source material? Was this in the comics, Danon?
You know me, I'm the biggest Clifford the Big Red Dog fan. You know, here at Rumizaga Movies, we always do our research. Jackson, riff and stall for a second while I look up the origins of Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yeah, okay. If you're listening to this podcast, if you're watching us live, go look up this trailer and just pay attention, stare directly at Clifford the Big Red Dog, and look, notice how bad the CGI is. It's just not good. It's a fake dog. Should have brought a real one in. We already discussed this. Dan, you find anything?
Okay, so I found one from 2017. Getting a bunch of ads, which is scary. This makes me not trust this website.
Do you not have an ad blocker? Dang, it's yeah, 2021. I do. Jesus.
Okay, so apparently his original name was Tiny. But Norma Bridwell, the person who created the character, said that wouldn't do. And in the end, Norma named Clifford after his wife's... Oh, Norma is a dude's name. Okay, so there was a typo on this website. I'm not using this as a source anymore.
Okay.
Clifford the Big Red Dog was the manifestation of Bridwell's childhood desire for a dog the size of a horse. What a psychopath.
Yeah, that's a bit weird. I didn't know it was some old dude's, like, dream.
God, it's his dream horse.
Oh, his dream horse, but actual dog. Dream dog.
His dog Dang horse.
We have the $1 million movie idea. All we need is a camera and a dog.
And bunch of radioactive ooze.
Exactly.
So this is just terrible. We're going to watch it. We're going to review it for you because that's what we do. That's what Rumi's Tiger Movies is all about. We're nothing if not watching the worst movies for you all. Speaking of watching the worst movies.
We watched Fast and the Furious 9. Not only did we watch it, we went to the movie theaters for it.
We spent actual hard-earned American dollars on a movie that was less than subpar.
Yep. So we're just gonna rate it?
You just want to jump into spoilers, don't you?
What is there to say about this movie?
Okay, let's give the overview plot, buddy, because that's how we always do this. I mean, this is how we set, like, 40% of the time we talk about the plot. So, Dominic Toretto, the absolute best person of all time, apparently, who can't die to save his life. He's retired now. He's got a kid. He's got a wife. He's got a house. He's got a family. But this time it's a literal family.
Like blood family. Yeah,
like a blood family. But he got to go out of retirement, even though it seems like he was retired for a month, 3 months.
A couple weeks, probably.
A few days. The crew gets back together. And boy, howdy, they got to stop a global terrorist who's bum, bum, bum. Dominic Toretto's brother, played by bum 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 John Cena.
Let's go.
So the MacGuffin of this movie, this isn't really much of a spoiler. I just wanted to touch on this. It's a little satellite ball that is only able to start based off of the fingerprints of one individual person. And then it just lets you control every satellite, but you also already need a satellite up there. And if you don't have one up there, it doesn't do anything. So it seems like this MacGuffin didn't come with a lot of instructions for the device. And these people just had to know about it the whole
time.
And
it was weak to cars the whole time.
Yeah, the weakness was cars and family.
And family. In all these movies, that's the real weakness of all the villains.
It's family. But let's touch on this for a little bit before we give our final rating. Just your initial thoughts. We'll talk about characters and everything when we get into it. I don't want to waste a second on any of this spoiler-free talk without jumping into all the juicy bits of each of these characters. But what would you really take away from this movie, Jackson? What's your overall, like, wow, Fast 9?
Wow, Fast 9. You know what? If I had to say anything good about this movie, it would have to be the fighting scenes. Like, not the car driving fighting scenes, but like the ones where, you know, John Cena and Dominic Toretto were kind of going at it. And also occasionally in between. Dominic Toretto's a tank. I don't really get it, but they were kind of cool.
Yeah, it's interesting to have watched the first movie last year. I mean, last week. Last week. Feels like a year after watching this movie.
Yeah, I feel like we missed too much in between. I had no idea what was going on sometimes.
It was really good. It was really good. And did you know what I mean when I meant that you needed to watch the first episode to understand like three moments in this film?
Oh yeah.
That were directly linked to like the first movie.
I mean, should we talk about them right now? They're not really spoilers. They're spoilers for the first movie.
Spoilers for the first movie. Near the end, because of course no one's actually going to die in this movie, Dominic Toretto looks at Jacob and goes like, hey, I was given a 10-minute car to get out of 10-second car from someone one time. So here you go.
And that was in the first movie.
That was the ending of the first movie, so thank you for that.
When Dominic Toretto beat up that guy was from the first movie. That's why he went to prison.
Yeah. Which was cool. What else? They're glad they connected those dots. We also get a cameo slash also is just in the movie of Maya, his sister.
Right.
She's been in other movies, but I mean,
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the fact that she's back.
Well, they had to bring in his family. Exactly.
All right, let's just rate this movie before we jump into it.
Out of?
Fucking 10 Vin Diesel sleeveless shirts.
I'm giving it a 4.2. My lowest rating ever.
Yeah, okay. This one gets a 3... I think I rated Fast and the Furious the first one pretty low, so I got to rate this one lower, 3.
Yeah, I can't remember what I rated the other one.
Yeah, this one is just so much worse.
But this one is worse. The other one's like, you know, a feel-good classic movie. Kind of, you just watch it to...
You're like watching it, and you're like, okay, there's heart in this movie. There's a soul in this movie.
And then this movie, you're like, what the fuck is any of this?
This fucking movie sucks so bad. The first thing we're going to be talking about, we're just full spoilers. If you haven't seen movie or any of the past 9 Fast and the Furious films, get out of the fucking way, dude. Because we're about to crank up that NOS and take this shit to 11. Are you ready, Jackson?
Okay, I'm a little confused because they're only at 9, dude. You can't take it to 11.
We're taking it to 11. We're driving 11? Into space. We're to 11.
Not again.
What if they got it to an 11th movie and they just gave up at that point and they're like, Fast and the Furious 11. 11.
11. That needs to... You need to work for their marketing team.
It's like whenever they do the trailers, it's like the guy gives up saying the title. 11.
11.
11. Like they're... 11? Confused. Vin Diesel, Dominic Toretto. This man... If you were to do, like, a screen comparison from the way he sounds in the first movie to the way he sounds now, he is almost unintelligible in every scene.
He really is.
It is distracting.
They do a shot of him, and he's trying to smile. It looks like he's forcing it so much. He looks like he's about to shit himself. Like, seriously.
It looks like someone's holding his family at gunpoint just behind the camera. And he's like, now act, Vin. And then he's just like, yeah, family.
Family.
There was one point, God, I forgot what he's like, I was protecting you. He says that to Jacob, John Cena's character, which we'll talk about in just a second. He's like, you never liked me. You were always mean to me. You never wanted to hang out with me. And he turns to him. And I'm assuming he says, I was trying to protect you. But what came out was... And I was like, what? And I was like, supposed to be during a very emotional scene. And I could not understand a word he was saying.
Vin Diesel, you know, the director's probably just so scared that when Vin Diesel doesn't make a good scene, he's like, all right, that's it. That's the one.
That's perfect. Let's go home, guys.
One more take.
One more take.
No, I could really get the smile down.
But there were just so many... Okay, can we talk about just the utter bullshit that this movie was? In so many scenes, shit happened that just should not have happened.
Jackson, we're going to get to that in due time, but give me your one example.
My one example. You know that scene where they're in the jungle and they're getting shot at? And that one character, I don't even know their names... The one black guy that wasn't Ludacris.
Oh, Roman?
Roman, is that his character?
Yeah.
He was being chased by like 12 armed men, and they all shot at him, and none of the bullets hit.
Jackson.
He was standing still, Damon.
Jackson, that's going to be our last talking point of this movie. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
I have this marked down on a separate sheet because okay. I do have a theory about that.
Really?
But let's talk about that at the very end. Next up, we have John Cena's Jacob Toretto. I'm so confused as to why they picked Jacob for a name when they are clearly like an Italian family or something. And they have Mr. Mayonnaise himself, John Cena, as the brother.
They could have called him Giovanni.
Yeah, Giovanni Toretto, but it's like Jacob. You could tell he was the least favorite in this family because he got a stupid fucking name. It's not like Jacob's a stupid name. No offense, Jacob Denver, at Jacob Denver. But it's the fact that compared to his siblings, like they have like actual names, and there's Jacob.
Jacob.
With a K. Here we go.
His character is nothing. Thing. Yeah, his character had no like importance whatsoever. He was kind of just pissed for the entire movie. And then towards the end is like, oh wait, haha. But I wanna mention something. So a lot of times in this movie they would do flashbacks to like younger versions of Dominic Toretto and younger versions of Jacob Toretto.
Yeah.
There was one time they did a transition from young Jacob to older Jacob, and I just noticed how little they looked alike.
Yeah, no, those flashback things were super bad. But the dude who played the young Dominic, I was like, yeah, I could see that.
I could see that, yeah. I thought that
like,
was
you know, casting. Like the lifeless expression in his eyes, the just void of any emotion. I was like, yeah okay. Yeah, I could see that being Dominic Toretto. But the dude who played young Jacob, I was just like, I'm so sorry, man. You were nowhere near the size of John Cena. It's just not fair.
Yeah. And I mean, at the time of like the young kids, you know, they're pretty much done growing. The height difference was like pretty big between
like a foot.
And then John Cena's just taller than Vin Diesel, even though, you know, in the flashbacks, John Cena was or like
shorter.
Young Jacob was way shorter. So no consistency
there. No consistency there. Anyways, Jacob Toretto, bad character. You get an L out of 5 for loser. Let's do some of the old family real quick. Let's tie in Letty and Mia in one group. Fucking,
they were practically useless.
No, I was about to say they finally have like goddamn character. Like, they're actual full-on characters. Even though this movie's literally just Vin Diesel gets fucking shot with a bazooka and survives, and everyone else is there.
What did they do other than that one fight scene in Japan? It was Japan.
Tokyo,
right.
It's a Tokyo Drift, the movie. That's where Han comes in. But yeah, no, they're there. They just do stuff, and then that's it. We have the Dream Team comprised somewhere along the line between the 8 films in between the first and this one. Tyrese Gibson's Roman Pierce, Ludacris as Ludacris. I don't even care what his real character's name is. He's Ludacris. And then we got Natalie Emmanuel's Ramsey. And then we'll just throw in Han in there as well. And whatever his daughter is, because I can't find her in this cast list at all. Yeah. So that crew. Oh, no. L. Han and L were there as well. So this dream team of these 5. So Ramsay's the only competent one. But even then, she can't drive.
She can't drive in a movie about cars. Like,
and
what is that?
Like, I'm fine with like, oh yeah, I just never got my driver's license. But she's like, she's hacking into the Pentagon. She can reason how to drive.
Yeah, and then she caused, you know, couple hundred thousand to $1 million of damage.
No, billions.
No big deal.
Like, took out beams of buildings.
Okay, maybe that.
I don't know how many people she's killed in that one scene. But, hey, if you thought the biggest factor this movie would be magnets, you were right.
You were right. And the magnets don't make any sense. But we haven't even talked about the characters. Let's finish.
No, let's talk about the characters. Roman and Ludacris, best part of this movie. And
best
I hate
part
them.
Of this movie.
And I hate them.
I feel like Roman was interesting because he called out all the bullshit that this movie was in the movie. He was like, there's no way I should be alive right now.
But
like,
I am.
He literally says what we're all thinking. Like, how did that happen? That shouldn't be possible. And we're all like, yeah, you're right.
No, it you're shouldn't. Right, Roman.
it's almost like he's breaking the fourth wall by saying that this movie makes no sense.
Yeah, no, it's atrocious. And then Ludacris is just like, haha, you eat candy when you're scared. And Tyrese Gibson is like, no, guys, like, actually, it doesn't add up, guys. I'm really
guys,
fucking scared. And then he's like, Ramsey's like, haha, this guy's scared of candy. Then we have Han and L. Great to see Han back in a movie that we haven't watched, but...
Yeah, and then they
I'm so glad,
how he's not dead in, like, 2 seconds, and it's just like, oh, this guy, he's really deceptive. Now Han's alive.
That's something I wanted to talk about, but we could talk about it right now. You do not need to watch any of the other movies to know what's going on in this film. Because of the fucking, like, a third of this movie is goddamn flashbacks. And some of them are fucking 2 seconds long. How did you survive that car crash? Oh, I just wasn't there. Oh, okay. Ooh. The hard part was continuing to pretend I'm dead.
Oh, I don't think it was very
hard. I don't think it's that hard, dude. I think you're good. Anyways, Han is just a guy who shoots a gun. Elle knows Kung Fu. And she's also the MacGuffin key for the, what was it, Ares?
Ares, Project Ares or whatever.
Well, that's so cool that I remembered anything from this movie.
There was a line about Ares. And I remember. He was like, Ares, that's the god of war, right? If this guy gets a hold of that, he'll be the god of everything.
There's some great fucking quotes in this movie. Let's just jump into our favorite segment. Hey, remember when? Because we're not doing a shot for shot throughout this whole movie, but we got to talk about the best parts. Let's start it off like a little therapy session, okay, Jackson? We have to start it off, sarcastically or not, with I loved it when, okay?
Okay.
I loved it when the entire Fast crew was driving in that jungle over that landmine field. First of all, that it took them super long to use translate. Like they were halfway into the thing when they're like, oh, it means landmine, guys. And the second thing I thought that was super great, well, I loved it when Roman's giant army jeep went 10 miles below the speed limit that they needed to not explode, which I thought was great. Vin Diesel was like, do the math. And then Ramsey said, you need to be driving 180 miles an hour to not literally explode from all these landmines.
I thought it was 80.
I thought it was 180.
I don't think you can physically go 180 in the big-ass army car.
I think you can. Anywho, 80. And he said, my car can only go up to 70. Well, you should be dead, Roman.
So. And he almost did. He almost died. Not from the hundreds of bullet wounds that should have killed him.
Or from the landmines that he almost stepped on, but because a truck literally fell on him.
Yeah. How ironic. The car almost killed him in a car movie.
It really was family the whole way. Jackson, your turn. Tell me something that loved.
I really loved it when magnet physics really only benefited the main characters and also caused millions of dollars in property damage and should have killed probably hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Could you imagine you have a phone in your pocket or like, you know, you have a pacemaker in your chest and this car just drives by, you're dead instantly.
Yeah. No, it's super awesome. I loved it when we saw the three people from, I pretty much just reasoned it was probably from Too Fast, Too Furious, if I had to guess, the three rocket scientists building a rocket car and then it exploded. Roman and Ludacris were just like, yeah, okay, build us a rocket car. We need to go to space. Okay? Thanks. And they did it.
Record time.
Like, alarming how quickly they were able to put that thing together immediately after blowing up the car that they then used later.
I loved it when their answer to shutting down a satellite was ramming a car into it.
I loved it when they decided to just not follow any of the laws of physics. Let's start off with that space one, Jackson. An object in motion, especially with no form of gravity, tends to stay in motion. So, when a car drives outwards into space at a satellite and just goes right through it, that car's just going into outer space.
I mean, they did have, like, ways to move around. They had the little, like, thrusters on the side. So, I mean, they weren't dead in the water. They were able to navigate back to the space station or whatever.
How would they know where the space station is?
I have no idea, but they found it, and the guys were like, "You, the astronauts were thinking what we were all thinking. Why is there a car in space?"
Why are they... remember that awesome Universal, like, Universal Connected Universe joke that they made at the end when the astronauts saw Ludacris and Roman in the car? Are those minions? Like, oh my god.
That was great.
That was great writing.
That actually raised my rating by 1 point.
I was going to give it a 3.2. But the fact that they gave it a Minions reference, I was like, holy shit, there's no way this is the best movie of all time. Jackson, I loved it when John Cena had like 8 different zipline guns just hidden throughout Berlin.
Right, yeah. It was his awesome escape route. And it didn't even work.
It didn't.
I loved it when Vin Diesel tackled him, even though he had no idea when he was going to show up on the zip line.
I loved it when they tackled him into another building and they sustained no major injuries.
Yeah, right. They only sustain injuries after they punch each other a lot.
Oh, okay.
You know what I love, Dana?
Jackson.
How they were able to flip the biggest truck in existence.
I was about to say that.
Using two cars.
Magnets.
And magnets. That don't even make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
It just does it. Like,
I don't know what they were trying to do.
Why didn't they just, like, put explosives under the truck or something? Or another thing. I loved it when no one ever decided to shoot the tires of the car.
I loved it. I loved it when none of the cars were said or proven to be bulletproof, yet suffered no major injuries up until the final race. Another one I wanted to mention, Jackson, that I absolutely loved. I loved it when Cardi B showed up.
Oh my god, that one actually lowered my rating 2 points.
You're gonna give it a 5.2, but then you dropped it back down, and then the minions brought it back up.
And then the minions brought it back up exactly.
If you know Rumi's talking movies, you know we all just hate Cardi B.
Yeah, no, and she doesn't even make, like, coherent sentences. She's literally Vin Diesel, but, like, on a way worse scale.
Because at least Vin Diesel attempts to smile.
Vin Diesel attempts. She was just there, like, we got you, Vin Diesel.
Here's a gun. It's not going to be tracked by anyone. I didn't think guns could be tracked like that.
Yeah, they have the one explanation.
They said not connected to a fingerprint. Here you go. It's yours now.
Yeah. Anyways, this movie sucked.
Yeah. No. Oh, absolutely. This movie is
TLDR. Nothing in this movie made sense. Actually, after reading into it a bit more, Dan, I think I'm lowering my rating to a 3.7. That goes 0.5 down.
Nice, man. That's actually really awesome that you did that. You just said that. Before we end, I wanted to talk about my theory, because Roman mentions that, dude, we're immortals because we can't die.
They're gonna tie it into the MCU.
No, I was just about to say, I think they're gonna tie it into Invincible. And they're all Viltrumites, and that's their way around it. Oh, we're just super aliens, that's why we haven't died yet.
You know, that would make sense, because they went to space. And they didn't die in a car.
Okay, before we end, I just need the final I loved it when, okay?
Okay.
I loved it when Vin Diesel, in an attempt to save the rest of the family from getting hit with missiles from a drone that Cypher just somehow got a hold of, was to roll the car off of a cliff and just hit the brakes to make it stop rolling off, and then flip the car again and jump out and blow up the drone.
Yeah.
Now, I know none of that made sense in that statement, but it doesn't make any sense in the movie either.
Yeah, what world are we in that makes sense?
I don't know, man.
To anyone.
The fact that, like, a car can stop any form of damage if you catch it, but then if you swing a car into a person and it kills him, they're playing fast and loose with these. They're playing fast and furious with these rules, man, and I can't handle it.
They really are.
Last thing, because we are talking about spoilers, it was a nice touch. You know, the one part I did like about this movie at the very end, they were having that barbecue and they were talking about family and all that.
Yep.
And then they're like, oh, one more seat's open. And I, like, the second they said that, I was like, ah, fuck, no, don't actually have a good moment in this movie. This movie should be bad all the way through. But then at the end, Paul Walker's Brian O'Connor's car pulls up into the driveway and they end it. Because in the movie universe, his character is still alive. He just went and retired and everything.
Yeah.
Had a family life and all that. Had a family. But I thought that it was really a really nice, sweet thing to prove that maybe one person in this entire crew of Fast and the Furious has a heart.
Not me, though.
I fucking hate this shit. So that's our review of Fast 9. If you haven't watched it, lucky you. If you're planning on watching it, why?
And stick around. In about 2 years, we'll probably be reviewing Fast 10.
And then we'll stick
also
around.
Also known as Fast 10, Your Seatbelt. That's the title of the movie. They're calling it that.
And if they're really on top of it, then we'll review Fast 11 the following year.
F-11.
That's the title of the movie. They're calling Fast 11, if you didn't know already. Man, this movie sucked. Jackson, go ahead and plug our socials.
If you aren't following us on our socials, our Instagram is at Roomies Talkin' Movies, and our Twitter is at Roomies Movies. We post there kind of once a week. Also, our YouTube is at Camden Powell. We have our Loki reviews up there now. And yeah, just kind of check us out. Give us some likes, some comments.
Some subscribes.
Some notifications.
Jackson, I'm very excited. Mainly because I don't need to watch Fast 9 again. But also, Jackson, you know what's so dang special about next week's episode?
I have no idea. Are there plans of some sort?
Jackson, there are plans already in motion. You know how this thing called the MCU, correct?
I have no idea.
Well, we're going to be reviewing Black Widow, baby. Not the song, but
not the spider.
Not the spider either, but the movie about a character that should have had a movie back in 2013. But I digress. We're reviewing Black Widow, and what makes it one step sweeter, one step oh dang baby, we're doing it is we're watching it together, and we're doing a review together. In the same room.
Hopefully it doesn't suck.
Which really doesn't mean anything it doesn't mean anything to everyone else listening, because it just sounds the same regardless of what we're doing. But for us,
you just let them know that we're not all in the same room.
Jackson, they've had to pick it up from context clues.
No, Cameron's behind. He's right there.
Jackson, that's a cat pillow, you liar.
Oh, it's not mine.
But get excited, because next week we're reviewing Black Widow, and this is probably the first movie we're going to like in a while. Hopefully.
Or maybe not. We might.
It might suck. See y'all next week. Take care. Stay safe. We love you.
Goodbye.